Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again and thank you for this day. Thank you for this book we're fixing to open, the precious Word of God. Dear Lord, we thank you for songs that are written from the depth of a soul that blesses our heart. In turn, reminds us what Jesus has done for us and how much we shall love you because of that. Now, this morning, dear Father, let this be a service where we can come to the throne of grace, feel the presence of God, yet learn something, grow in grace and knowledge. And when we go back in that world, be a little bit different when we came. God, help us focus on you. When we do, we look at this world different. I don't want to be like the world. I want to be what you'd have me to be. And I think most people here this morning want the same thing. Because we're headed our home, and we want to be more like our home than the world. So I pray you'd help us learn something today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated and take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I want to read verses 1 through 12. And then we're going to Colossians to read a verse in Hebrews and read three verses. And then I'll give you the topic. And then I'll get a few comments and give you the reason why the message is like it is today. Scripture says the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. That is some type of wonder, spectacular. It's really like they want to be entertained. And he answered and said unto them, when is it evening? When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. That means it's close to the ground. Oh, you hypocrites, isn't it amazing? Boy, I wonder how many people the Lord addressed as hypocrites today, if he's here teaching specifically. I assure you there's a lot of them. Oh, you hypocrites, he said, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. This part of the sign of the prophet Jonas, the sign of death. So he's been talking back, go back in 12 and other chapters, and he's been talking about his death. And they couldn't grasp that. They just didn't see him dying, the power he had. I mean, who, after all, how can you kill someone who can raise the dead? Supply your needs. And then he said in verse 5, the scripture said, and when his disciples were come to the side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, now this is interesting because if you be honest, most of the time this is how we look at things in life. Rather than seeing the scripture spiritual side, we most of the time identify from a secular physical side. And so then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What's this? And they reason. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye little faith. He's talking to the disciples now. You'd think they'd had a little bit of faith now. They'd been with him about 2 years plus. You'd think they'd had stronger faith than this. But O ye little faith, he said, know again. Why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of 5,000 and how many baskets you took up and the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but watch of the doctrine. There it is. Of the doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2, please turn there. I want your eyes to focus on this. Chapter 2, you know this by heart, many do, but Paul is writing to the church at Colossians. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And then, of course, Hebrews, look with me, chapter 11, and verse 1, 2, and 3, beautiful verses of Scripture, when we talk about faith. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is the reality, the solid quality of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. The proven ability of God revealing things that cannot be seen. It's evidence. He said, for by the elders obtained it a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Isn't it interesting? The world looks at this, the secular world looks at the world and they can't even put nothing together. And yet, through faith, we understand that this was formed by God, by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, this morning, as you go back to Matthew chapter 16, notice that they reasoned among themselves in verse 7, as it because we have no bread. And then Jesus said, why reason among yourself? Because you have brought no bread. Why reason among yourself about bread? Have you not forgotten only just a few days or months, certainly before this, that I have fed 5,000? And look at the amount that you took up from five loaves of bread, or from some loaves of bread, as he put. You understand, neither five loaves in verse 9. You not understand? And look at the many baskets you took over. Then there's another time, 4,000 I took bread, and also blessed. And in turn, look at the baskets that you took up. Fed 4,000. Hey, why would you be worried about bread? You know I have the power to take care of that. You know I'm not going to let you go hungry. Get your eyes focused that there are some things in life more important than physical bread. And he said in fourth, the doctrines of the Sadducees and Pharisees are very damaging. And you need to realize, beware, take heed, listen, and don't follow these particular doctrines. Now, it's interesting, when you think about the word reason, he talked about reasoning here. You know, we all waste a lot of time when we reason apart from God. We want to reason with God, but to reason with God, you have to let God reason with you and me. My reason with God is no more than reason with you. And there's so many things I don't know and you don't know, so therefore we can't really reason accurate about everything. But if we listen to God, He's always right. God reasons with us, and He encourages us to listen to what He reasons us about. That's the reason the world will not accept Jesus Christ as Savior. They refuse to listen to how God reasons with us about His Son and what it did, how important it is to know Him as one's personal Savior. You know, all we know, we learn by the senses. Everything you know, you learn, either by the senses that you see, you hear, you feel, you smell, you taste. But there's another sense in God's family, so to speak, has been called that, even though it's not recognized by the world. And that sense is faith. It's kind of called the sixth sense. For by faith, we see that the worlds were framed by the hand of God. You never see it without faith. You know what? You hear what I said? I wish I could see that. You never see it without faith. Because God has a channel that we're in turn from the matter of the secular world and what we see in matter into the spiritual world. It cannot be seen without the channel of faith. Anything else will be distorted at that particular time. And so human reason does not bring us any closer to God. And I can prove that to you because human reason only has to deal with that which does with man and his thinking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or chapter 2, Paul said this, but the natural man, he's talking about the natural man in this world, the secular man, has no spiritual insight whatsoever. Don't even know himself he's got a spirit, I guess, to some degree. He said, but the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because to him they're foolish. For they're foolish unto him, he said, foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. They laugh at us because we talk about you've got to be born in the family of God and get the Spirit of God and have a spiritual relationship with God, who John tells us that Jesus said that to the woman by the well, God is a spirit. Without the Spirit of God, there's no understanding about the things of God. So everything's coming to us today from a secular standpoint, denying many things about God, and many times because we'll not spiritually progress like we should, we miss out on it. In other words, we don't stand for it, against it like we should, or stand for something that we should stand for. We're kind of like the man who's talking to his employee one day. He hired someone, he'd been working about 3 months, and he said to him one day, stop and come in the door. He said, I'm going to ask you a question. You give me one good reason why you're late every day on your job. Can you give me just one good reason? He said, I can, sir. He said, best reason I know of, it makes the day a little shorter. I don't think that's a good reason, do you? I read where there's three preachers one day talking about prayer. And this is one of the best things I ever heard, I think, because prayer is not necessarily the position you're in, it's the need you have. And these three pastors were talking about prayer. And one of them said, you know, the best way I find the prayer God answered my, I put my hands up or like this and I pray to God. And I can sit or stand or anything and pray. And the other said, not me. He said, I have to get on my knees when I pray. I feel more humble before God when I get on my knees. Now, while these are talking, there's a telephone man standing over here side working on a telephone in one of the offices. And he's listening to this conversation. And the second said, I got on my knee. And the third person said, well, not me. I get in a prostrate position down before God. I humble myself the best I can before God and want to show that I have come to Him in humility. To me, that's the best position of prayer that I've ever seen. And the telephone man had heard just about all he could stand. He said, sir, he said, I want to say something to both of you. I'm not part of this conversation, but I've been listening to you. He said, I found the most powerful place in this world to pray. It's hanging 40 foot up in the air from a telephone pole upside down. Amen. Where you at? We'd get you to pray more seriously than any other way. And be honest with you, most of us pray casually, routinely, rather than actually praying before the Lord. Now, last week Wednesday night I told the folks that this message came around from this. I got an article from JB the other day, and it's in the great paper, The News Observer. Amen. July the 23rd, 2009. And folks, this is just a sign of where we're seeing happen, a mock of God today. This is Jennifer Gray. I'm going to just read some of them. I'm going to read it all and then get into the message. She considered herself a weak Christian. Her baptism at age 11 in the Kentucky church came to mean less and less as she gradually lost faith in God. Then the 32-year-old medical transcriptionist from Columbus, Ohio, now she's 32-year-old, she took a decisive step, one that previously hadn't been available. She got de-baptized. You think I'm kidding you? This is true. She got de-baptized. In a type of mock ceremony, I'm imagining they put that in here, mock, but that's what it was. That's now been performed in at least four states. A robe priest, I wonder why they dress them up in a robe, and what priest would do this. A robe priest, I think it's somebody who act like a priest. Amen. I'll say that even for those who have priests. A robe priest use a hairdryer marked Reason in a bid to blow away the waters of baptism. Go ahead and laugh, bless God. It's funny. It's seriously. When I say funny, that's all it is. It's not true. How in the world can a person turn from a living God and make such foolish decisions? You said foolish, you better believe it's foolish. And he goes on, and he said, several dozen participants then fed on de-sacraments also. Instead of taking communion with the regular bread and cup like we would here to honor God, they used crackers and peanut butter. And they received certificates assuring them that they had freely renounced a previous mistake and accepted reason over superstition. I've got news for you. God is not a superstition. Amen. And they're going to find out one day they'd been better to stick with reason, even if they and not thought about it being superstition. And she said it was very therapeutic. I wonder what it's going to be when one ends up in hell. It's not going to be therapeutic then. It was a chance to laugh at the silly things I used to believe that as a child. It helped me admit that it was okay to think the way I think, to do what I do, and to not have any religious belief. The past year, de-baptism ceremonies have attracted as many as 250 participants in atheist conventions in Ohio, Texas, Florida, Georgia. More have taken place on college campuses in recent years. And the last thought, one person argued this. He said, they were baptized without their consent as children and should now be declared debaptized. That is, the parents themselves who gave them the right and had the privilege to lead them to the Lord. Now some of these are saying that they are debaptized. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Listen to me this morning. Did you know, why be de-baptized? Because you didn't get nothing but dump to start with. All you did was go in dry and come out wet. If you think you need to be de-baptized. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation other than starting out and obeying God Almighty. I mean, listen, baptism has no meaning if you're not saved. And so if she's not saved, by the way, she must not be. And I say to you again, you just got wet when they dumped you under that water. And de-baptism is done only to mock God. And I'll tell you this, sometimes innocent people are caught into the thing of something of our day and Satan behind it, and they don't understand it. To them, it's a means to get back at something they didn't like, or sometimes it may be to get back at a parent or somebody in society, and this is the way they could do it, thinking they're really doing something against the Lord, or in fact doing something against someone which is against the Lord, not realize this is a serious, dangerous thing. Now, I want to speak to you this morning. They said this hair dryer was listed reason, and it could blow the water away. It can't even blow water off your hair too good to blow away baptism. But what I want you to listen is this. I want to talk about reason or faith. Reason or faith. Look at reason, first of all, as man looks at it. We looked in again in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, where we are called and declared and proclaimed to beware of this, he says. Any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Human philosophy provides a view invented by a man about life, about values, about relationships, about purposes, about destinies. They do this without an absolute standard for truth. They have no standard when it comes to the ideas of right and wrong, which they base their opinions upon. Human philosophy and thinking without God will give you different ideas about things. Because in society, whatever may be wrong with this person may not be with this, and what may be right may be this. It's a mixed up pool, so to speak, when it comes to declaring what is right and what is wrong. People tend to line up behind their favorite leaders in life when it comes to human opinion. We, like the Greeks of old, as human beings, are fascinated with human wisdom, especially someone who can articulate fairly good, especially someone who has some ideas that's different than the norm. There's something about us to learn and be excited about new things that we follow quickly those things that seem to be new and somewhat make sense the way we look at things in life as human beings. When divine authority is rejected, modern man makes his God of education, human opinion about life, values, helps, meanings, guidance. But anytime you mix, you hear me, and I mean this from the bottom of my feet, the head of my, top of my head. Anytime that you literally mix human wisdom with divine revelation, revelation will lose from a physical standpoint. Because revelation from God is fought from the flesh all the time. The true understanding of sin is completely out of psychology's realm. Man reasons that as long as his good works way outweigh his bad works, he's okay. As long as he feels good about something, it's got to be okay. So if you go somewhere or another with human reason and someone says, I feel good about it, and someone, well, I don't feel so good about that. Well, that's your opinion, and you have different opinions. So anywhere you go in a culture, there'll be some things that they would do that we will not do, and there's some things that we will do that they will not do. You go to any culture in this world and you'll find that existent. There's no divine element in it. It is literally human wisdom. And so as long as he feels good about something, he's okay. Or if he don't understand about sin, and you can't understand in the psychology realm of man. So here, you must know what is good or bad. Then you have to know how much good or bad. I mean, if I've got to weigh things out and what's good and bad to go to heaven, then how much good have I got to have over the bad? Is it 50.5%? Is it 51%? Is it 75%? What percentage is it? Well, I've got news for you. There is no percentage. There is no percentage. There's no way in the world that you and I can work good or bad and expect ourselves to go to heaven. So human wisdom and philosophy and psychology cannot possibly identify what sin against God is. And it cannot give a remedy for it. No matter how hard man tries, he doesn't understand the sin in the secular world. He can justify the sin in the secular world. And he has no remedy for his sin in the secular world. And this Bible gives us that understanding in life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, only God can identify sin. And only His forgiveness can remove sin. And I've got news for you. He can't remove sin unless sin's paid for. And you can't have forgiveness of sin unless sin is paid for. And I'm glad that I talk about hell and the lake of fire. I'm glad that I can report to those that will listen to me as I preach the Word of God. I'm so grateful to tell them that where they could not pay for sin, God's Son did pay for it. And therefore, they can come by faith and trust Him as Savior and know what it is to be called a child of God. We have to be born in the family of God to understand the things of God. I believe with all my heart, you'll find if you let the Bible be the criteria rather than man's wisdom, you'll find there's a whole lot of people who say they're saved not going to heaven. Because you've got to have a birth. How do you tell that? You measure it not with human wisdom, but with God's Word. Don't come telling me that a person says, well, I believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, but I also believe that, you know, somebody over there in Africa can get saved another way. No, you don't really believe in Jesus Christ then. That's honest, because Jesus Christ is the way or He's not. And if someone else has a way, we better be looking for it. But aren't you glad you know God has given you a peace and a satisfaction that you have Him who is life. And He claimed that and we believe that. And God put His seal of approval upon that for us in this life, you see. Only God can identify sin. And only His forgiveness can remove sin. Man cannot solve his problems because he refuses to recognize their source, which is sin. And the same time, man refuses to recognize the solution for his problem, which is salvation, been born into the family of God. And so therefore, if a person goes through a routine, a religious, whatever, I expect something like this. By the way, in these last days, I expect more of this worse than this. Because unless a person genuinely gets born again and grows in grace and knowledge and be in a place where the table is set where they can listen to the Word of God, but not only preach for salvation to get the gospel out, but preaching the Word of God, thus saith the Lord, in doctrine, that where people can be set in doctrine, not being afraid of the word doctrine, because doctrine is important if you're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Well, I say, well, but we don't, and I hear this all the time, we don't preach doctrine here because it's so divisive. Well, you can't preach Jesus Christ without preaching doctrine. So when you tell me you don't preach doctrine, you must not be preaching Christ. Oh, preacher's getting a little ruddy, isn't it? No, it's getting happy. I mean, this is the way, the truth, and the life we're talking about. We're not rebel rousers. We're Bible believers. And that makes a difference. And thank the Lord for that. So human philosophy and psychology cannot possibly identify what sin against God is or give us a remedy for it this time. The human intellect. Bright, intelligent person looks at the cross. And they say, I can't accept that. Why? Well, I can't. It don't make sense to me. That's exactly right. It won't make sense until the Holy Spirit brings you understanding. And you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to get your attention and let you look at it. And it amazes me when God gives me the opportunity. You know, just to talk to someone across the aisle or the door, one thing. If God had given me the chance to open this book and give me about 15 minutes to explain what it means to be saved and how to be saved, the way we do it, most people say, I never knew that. Wonder why? Because salvation is not the way most religions say it is. Salvation is a birth. And there's ingredients for a birth, and without the ingredients, there's no birth. You just didn't happen to be born. There are some things that went on before you were born to bring you to the point to be born. And you just don't haphazardly get born into the family of God. There are some things that are important in life to hear, and that's the word, the seed, and so forth, and I won't get into that this morning. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, the human intellect and the intelligent person looks at the cross of Christ because it deals with death. They said, I can't accept that. Well, it don't make sense. Well, neither does it make sense to think that God would establish a relationship with man our way. Why is it that people think that God is going to establish, if I'm sincere in this, and God's going to establish my relationship with my way? No, He will not. He will not establish it our way. He says He establishes it His way. And He says it's through Jesus Christ. Intellect, love, beauty, and power have no sympathy with a religion which glorifies the crucified and appeals to the sinful, wretched human being. In Christ, the tree of life, the tree of death becomes the sign of redemption. In Christ, the tree of death becomes the law of life. This brings no sympathy with a religion when they look at someone and say, I can't believe that, crucified, this death blood stuff. The foolishness of preaching, though, breaks down the wise philosophic system for those who exercise faith in Christ. To begin with, you look at Peter. Peter had no understanding about the cross. In Matthew 16:22, when Jesus was talking about going to the cross and being and dying, He came forth boldly, and Peter took Him, and the Bible says He took Him and began to rebuke Him, said, Be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not come unto Thee. But look at Him in 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 24. Turn there. If you look in Matthew, he can't see it at all. But boy, he's got it now. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, he says, Who His own self, speaking of Jesus Christ, bared our sins in His body on the tree. He's got it now, hadn't He? Hadn't He got it now? He understands it now. He said, I want to tell you, back over there, a few years before then, you know, he didn't understand it all. And he rebuked Christ. Hey, Lord, this is not going to happen. But now he says that, who himself bared his sins in his own body, that we might, being dead to sin, should live unto righteous by those whose stripes ye were healed. At the Pentecost, Peter knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. And he gave his life to die for the cause of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, turn there please. In verse 20, I've got to hurry to get through this message. This has been a blessing to study. Sometimes God will let something trigger in your heart, and I'll get something from someone, and they'll just open up a whole new field. Look in verse 20 of chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He asked the question. It's a three-part question. He said, first of all, where are the smart people who have the answer? Where are the wise? Let's break it down to where I can understand it. Where are the smart people who say they have the answers? Throughout history, human wisdom has never basically changed or solved man's problems. You move right in from one problem to another, one society to another. We get smarter, but morally we get worse. We kill babies by the thousands and think it's all right because government says it's okay. We find more ways to express and excuse human nature due to culture. Well, our culture is not that way. We believe in God. Keith did a good job this morning talking about that. Well, that's not our culture. Our culture is different. Well, we believe in God. And you got, 500 different cultures believing in 500 different gods. And then they can't see the difference. So here we come through this life. Where are the scribes? Where are the scholars? The second one. Where are your clever arguments? Where have they brought you to? Paul asked in this particular question. The only way you'll get the answer is through faith. And that's the second thing. Get away from reasoning and trust God by faith. And then God will reason to us why faith is important. Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith he's talking about is in Him. Doubt is unbelief. If you look in Hebrews chapter 3, you find that the writer said this in chapter 3 down to verse 12. He made this statement. He said, Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, some say he's talking to his own nation here, Israel. Others say he's talking to the children of God. I'll tell you this, that we need to take heed because there is still a part of us in this body that has not been redeemed as yet. Take heed, lest there be any in evil of unbelief. Unbelief in anybody's heart is evil. It's evil. And here he teaches us Doubt is unbelief, simply. To doubt is to be deliberately disobedient to God's known will. To do this is to reject completely revelation and be incomplete about the things of God. Here, truth is doubted. To deny Christ, truth is doubted. We who have been made partakers of His divine nature through Jesus Christ are to exhort one another, not be like verse 12. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while He is called today, lest any of you harden through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. Isn't that interesting? What a blessed word of God to let us know that. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Of course, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, been born again, you have the assurance you'll be more steadfast than you would without Him in this particular life. So here again, we who have been made partakers of Christ to exhort one another. Here is an express, a complete action with existing result. There's an action that will be a final result, which will prove to others who can't see our heart who we really are in this particular life. He teaches us we are literally to take heed. But Satan encourages the believers to give up some of their confession about Christ and go back into the world. That's the reason 2 Corinthians 6:17 teaches us that we are to be separated from the world. Come ye out and be separated. That says to me, don't be like the world. Be separated is to show who Christians really are in this world. We must take heed. An error in heart is a heart that is insensitive to God's word, God's work, and also God's people. Collectively, Israel departed from God's known will, refusing to go into Canaan. Back in Numbers, if you look in 13:26-13, don't have time this morning, those people stubbornly wanted to go back to Egypt. Isn't it amazing? They hadn't been out of Egypt in just a short period of time. They hadn't got nowhere in Kadesh Barnea. And now they're fixing to go in the wilderness when they could have went across real fast and went right over, ran into the land of Canaan. But because of their unbelief, they didn't go in. They stubbornly wanted to go back to Egypt. God didn't permit them. Turn with me, if you will, over the Numbers 14. And let your eyes see a few things that I think will be a blessing to you. God did not permit them to return to Egypt. You agree with that, won't you? He didn't. He let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, but He didn't let them go back to Egypt. But I'll tell you one thing. He did discipline in the wilderness. He didn't let them go back, but He did discipline. The greatest sin against ourselves and God is the sin of unbelief. To turn from Christ is not just turning from religion. It's not just turning from traditional Christianity. To turn from Christ is to turn from life itself, the life of God. And that's what God wants us to understand. He's not just offering a new relief on something. He's given us His life, partakers of Jesus Christ. Unbelief blinds people God's greatness and magnifies our weakness in this life. Again, the question is not how big is my problem or how big I am, but how big is my God who can help me with the problem. Faith unites God's people. Unbelief looks for someone to blame, but faith unites us together. Unbelief is looking for an excuse to come up with something hopefully God accepts. Faith will unite us together. Again, in Numbers chapter 14, it's interesting. Notice, if you will, I won't have time to read these for the sake of time, but if you'll notice in verse 11 through 19, in chapter 14 of Numbers, you're going to find that there is an intercession to God that led to pardon. God says, listen, they're your people, Moses. No, they're not, God. And Moses interceded for these people. He made some statements and he said, Lord, what about the Egyptians? They'll hear this and they won't thank you who you are. And know about nation in verse 15, which have heard the fame of thee was speak saying, because the Lord was not able to bring His people into the land which He sware. Moses said, Lord, isn't it amazing? Moses is talking to God. It's amazing God let him talk this way. He said, Lord, but if you do destroy these people, then the nations saw you brought them out. They're going to say, Lord, you're not able to deliver like you said you were going to do. I don't know why God did what He did, but He says in verse 20, He pardoned them except the men who were 20 years old and older. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Verse 11 through 19 is rebellion led to intercession. But verse 20 through 38, intercession led to pardon. In verse 20 especially, you see that. Now, God pardoned them. But he judged their sin. If you notice again, he says, all those men, 22, verse 22, which will see my glory, in verse 23, they shall not see the land. If you're 20 years and older, you shall not see the land. Now that fits with Galatians. You know what Galatians chapter 6 tells us as children of God? You say, preach, that's Old Testament. I know, but it's the same thing that God tells us in the New Testament. And he does there what he tells us in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, you know that wonderful information that God said, be not deceived in chapter 6 of Galatians. God is not mocked, for whatsoever is man soweth, that shall he. Hey, he's talking to the church at Galatia here. Be not deceived. For he said, he that soweth the flesh shall reap the corruption, but he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary well doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Ladies and gentlemen, God pardoned them, but he judged their sin in the midst of them at this time. This is a terrible sin of unbelief. Amazing too is they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and they could not get out of it. Hey, did you know that they could have crossed over the complete place in 21 days? But they wandered for 40 years. God wouldn't let them out. You could go across it walking pretty slow 21 to 25 days. But they wandered 40 years. Why? Unbelief. Wonder how much time we've wasted because of unbelief. Wonder how much time God would have done something for us quicker if our faith had been stronger in unbelief, instead of unbelief. They could have crossed it. The land was impressive. The inhabitants were impressive. If the land of Israel was called Canaan, it said it flowed with milk and honey to describe it. But the children of Aaron was tall and strong, and here they were. Israel had faith to come out of Egypt at God's command, but they didn't have faith to go into Canaan. Isn't that interesting? How easy we are. There's people who have faith to trust Christ as Savior, but they don't have faith to serve Him. Same principle. Amen? Amen? Folks, we're just like Israel. We trust Him to save us, praise the Lord, but what about service? They trust Him to get Him out of Canaan, out of Egypt, but they can't trust Him to take Him to Canaan, which He promised them He was going to take them. My, today many say they have faith to trust Christ, but don't have faith to live for Him. This was Israel's 10th rebellion. God had been very merciful to them. And so those men over 20 years old will not see the land. He promised that in verse 22. And I thought about it, and I've seen that. I didn't figure this up, but I read where someone else did some figuring and looked at it with my peanut mind. Someone estimated there was over 600,000 men that died in the 38 to 39 years while they wandered in the wilderness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's 14,508 days, if it's correct, right, with trying to find out the Jewish calendar. That's about 43 deaths per day. That's about 3 to 4 deaths per hour for 38 plus years. A lot of widows and orphans, children filled the land. A lot of graves were dug while wandering in the wilderness. When you look at figures, it's devastating. Well, my God's not a God of wrath. You better wake out of that. You better flee to Christ who's able to remove the curse. Because His blood can literally wash your sins away. Kadesh Barnea was an oasis about 50 miles southwest of Beersheba. God led Israel with a mighty hand. He gave her law. He gave her worship. The method of worship. He gave the fact that He fed them. He separated them from a world of sin. Now, rest lies before them. Joshua is going to take them over. Rest from the world. Rest from self. Reason or faith? You have more victories by faith than you do by reason before God. For most people, reason overrides faith in God. Our faith should override our reason. That's the reason God has left us this preserved book. Turn to 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 1, and I'll close. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, reason versus faith. This precious young lady reasoned the fact that everything she had done was a mockery. She had mocked herself. Instead, she turns around and mocks God. Three attitudes to the cross that we're talking about. Our faith should override reason. Say that with me out loud. Our faith should override reason. Nothing wrong in reasoning things out in this life, because that's about the only way you and I can handle information and deal with conversation with people. But with God, this is His reason book. This is His reason book. There's three attitudes. Look in verse 23 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. And he says, "But we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." Now, there's three attitudes towards the cross in this chapter. And that verse starts it. Some stumble at the message. They just don't get it. And it interferes with their culture and their religion. And they stumble at it. Some laugh at it. And that's reasoning. Whether they stumble or whether they laugh at it, it's human reason. That's all they have at this time. Human reasoning. And in human reasoning, God's evil doctrine is man's corrupt nature. Evil doctrine in man's corrupt nature corrupts man quickly. He already has a corrupt nature. So evil doctrine in man's given to man's corrupt nature causes him to move more rapidly towards evil things, because it is like bearing witness to what he already knows and thinks it's got to be okay. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring an angle to turn that around for you and I in this life. So some stumble at it and some laugh at it, but some believe it and experience the power and the wisdom of the cross by faith. And so the question is, as we look at reason and faith, the question is simply this: have you come to know God in a personal way through your studies in human wisdom? Has your achievement enabled you to find God and experience salvation in your human wisdom? If you have not got a solid base for that, then listen to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 3, "Ye must be born again." That means been born from on high. If you have not trusted Christ and you're dependent on your a great achievement in human wisdom, have you found the true God yet? Or how are you settled? Because if you don't settle on it, what happened is, if I say this is God now, and suddenly the culture changes a little bit, and someone comes along later because they're in more power than I am, and say, "But this is God," then you go with it. Because human wisdom is not stabilized. God has been here forever. He's stable. He's stable. And God reveals Himself through His precious book. Turn with me to Ephesians 3, and this is it. You say, "Preacher, you keep on. Every book, verse in the Bible we read, that's why." Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Believe me, this will finish it. What do you mean? I say to you, if you have not settled, and I'm talking this not only here, but those on radio, in a few minutes will hear this broadcast, or hear this message. If you have not settled on who the true living God is, why not come to Jesus Christ? Let me show you, and I'll close, what happened when you do. Look in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 3. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Look now. It's not by human wisdom. It's not by examining everything in the world and trying to have enough data. It's by faith. It's by faith. Watch. "That ye being rooted and grounded in love." And believe me, I'm through. I'm by through. "That ye being rooted and grounded in love." That comes in Christ by faith. "Now you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height." And ladies and gentlemen, that's talking about God's method and ways. He covers every direction that you have access to understand what's taking place by faith. And then he says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." Isn't that wonderful? Not only do we find by faith in Him and grounded in love that we can comprehend with the saint the breadth, the length, and the depth, and height, but to know the love of Christ, it gives us knowledge in this book. "That ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." Isn't that wonderful? That means God says, "Everything I have, I'll give to you." When you get Christ, you have everything you need for salvation, but you need to grow. Hey, when you were born a little baby, you had everything you needed for birth. Well, aren't you glad you grew a little bit? I'd hate to see somebody here 20 years old, they still sing, goo, 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 give me my bottle. We'd hate me seeing a bunch of people sucking a bottle in here this morning, 20-year-old. That wouldn't shock you? No, when you got home, you'd have a big thing to talk about over the dinner table, though, wouldn't you? Amen. What I'm saying is, right, we are to go. Birth is needed, the ingredients for birth, but we have to grow. Manifest who we are. And then he goes on and he says, that ye might be filled. And now unto him that's able to do exceed abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power that worketh in it. That power that's working in us who's been saved. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Who? Who? By who? Christ. It didn't say Muhammad, did it? It didn't say Confucius. It didn't say Maharaj or whoever you may say. It didn't say that. It said Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, said with me, Jesus Christ. Folks, get an understanding. You understand why I'm so dogmatic about Jesus Christ? You say, preacher, you're too hard. No, I'm not. It's just truth. Just truth. He said, unto him be glory of the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, and no more. You can't say nothing else to that, but again, but amen. That's all you can say. Amen. So be it. There's no other way. Accept it or reject it. Head to heaven by accepting it. Reject it, you head to hell. And finally, the lake of fire. And yes, in the age of we living in, there is a hell and there is a lake of fire still available for those unsaved. My Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the precious word. Thank you for the guidance of this. Lord, this is kind of a quick message after reading all this. But Lord, we need to understand. Thank God, in the image of God, we can reason, we can think. Lord, we have the ability to rationalize and look at information and converse with each other on things about this life. But I'm glad God didn't just leave us there in a fallen state when Adam and Eve sinned. You made a way that we could be restored and think on things about God. And as we live here and involved with things in life, have a vision through faith, a channel that God opens up to see about those precious things that God has promised His people. We long for that day, Lord. But until then, we're not going to sit down and be idle. Dear Father, we're going to do our best to stay in the book, learn from You, then ask You to please help us, because we realize that we are in the flesh and have a tendency sometimes, Lord, to be so geared to the flesh that we don't want to listen to what God says. Any of us can do that, including myself. Dear Father, we pray for this dear lady who all of a sudden, no doubt young in age, 11 years old, parents were concerned, somebody was concerned, a church was concerned, maybe a bus guy, I don't know. Somebody was concerned, led this young girl what they thought was to the Lord. No doubt she thought what got to her the place to change her mind and think that she could de-baptize herself and all that just be erased away. The only thing that can erase away the things that we need removed in us is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the sin that we have in these frail bodies. Bless Your people today. Help Satan to be defeated and not get someone to look at this from an angle where in turn they drive one from God. But look at it, dear Father, an angle by the Spirit of God that the Holy Spirit could draw someone to the Lamb of God. Strengthen Your people today. As we look at what God has done, Lord, we have to reason. That world, this world is full of that in the secular world. But we must never let secular reason override God's wisdom and God's revelation. Dear Father, help us to understand what You would have us understand, that our feet will be solid, set grounds. Dear Lord, unmovable, and yet at the same time, willing to move in this world for the cause of Christ. Honor Yourself, Lord, in this message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.